Are you listening to me?
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 I don't know. I'm not even listening.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
Listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Listen, listen.
No, listen up and listen good, everyone.
No, I'm not listening.
The River Network presents Dimitri live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5, 1290, 100.1, 1430, and 100.9. Time to get your morning up to speed with Dimitri live and dangerously local, a River Network production.
Everybody here ain't from here, but we're here doing our thing.
Good morning. Incredible show for you today. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure you download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5 to get Dimitri 3 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. All the right here, and then Thursdays and Fridays, encore presentations, River Talk Radio Network. Now, later on this morning, I'm going to talk with you about CJ. They're bringing him home today. His brother is going to be calling me. Jeremy is going to be calling me live as they're going to Morgantown. And it's going to be, I think, something that you're going to really want to hear. Also, I want to talk with you about Middle Creek Garage in Tridelphia. I've been getting lots and lots of very disturbing reports about this garage, about this towing service, whatever the hell they are. And I reached out to them asking, are these reports true that you're essentially, it seems to be, that you're screwing over people who you've got their cars and you're charging them to get the stuff out of their cars? These are the accusations, and it's all over Facebook. And instead of Middle Creek Garage responding to me, they blocked me. They blocked me. They blocked me. But my sources tell me that there are over 200 comments about this, and that Middle Creek Garage has now shut off the comments. So I don't know what the truth is, but I've been reaching out, and I will continue to reach out to Middle Creek Garage. The fact that they blocked me is, to me at least, is an indicator that all those complaints might have some validity. So we're going to talk about that. Oh, yeah, we are definitely going there. Also this morning, and it pains me to say this, but every once in a while, the newspaper, the Unintelligencer, actually does something right, and it did with this editorial about rising power rates, a concern for West Virginia. In fact, let me give it an unqualified two thumbs up. They did a very, very good job with this editorial. Look, when they get it right, they get it right, and you got to give them complete credit for that, unqualified credit. They did a very good job with this editorial, and it's all about the arrogance of the Appalachian Power Company and its president, who doesn't even understand what the word substantial means when it comes to a rate increase, which actually kind of makes sense if you work for a power company. So I called on one of my favorite politicians, State Senator Chris Rose. This is a great guy representing the 2nd Senate District in West Virginia, which includes substantial parts of the Big Willie 105.5 listening area. I asked him to come on because he is the chair of the Energy Committee in Charleston, and he is a fourth-generation coal miner and a really, really, really good guy. So we're going to be talking about that. If you know anyone who is concerned about high electric rates, especially in West Virginia, Appalachian Power, and this president and CEO, a guy named Aaron Walker, who doesn't even know what a substantial rate increase even means, you really need to let people know to listen in this first hour. And then, of course, the second hour, Jeremy is the CJ's brother, is going to be calling us from the road, and they're going to be escorting CJ's body back to Toothman Funeral Home in St. C. So lots of, by the way, as if that's not enough for one morning, I also have a pair of tickets. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets. George Thorogood and the Destroyers, the baddest show on earth. Capitol Theater, June 20th. And I'm getting all choked up even saying this. You have a chance to win these tickets. 10th caller later on this morning. Incredible show for you today. And thank Johnny O for giving me a pair of tickets to give to you. So, Johnny, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it greatly. All right, let's get started here. State Senator Chris Rose, welcome back to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing this morning, sir?
Good
morning, Dimitri. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. Fine. Did you have a chance to read this editorial, which was actually quite good, in the Intelligencer, Rising Power Rates a Concern for West Virginia?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. Let me just read just a couple of paragraphs for our listeners, and then let's talk about what on earth we can do to stop these monstrous electric companies from screwing us time and time again. Here's part of the editorial. It's always jarring when those representing corporations on which so many of us depend display their total disconnect from the real world. Appalachian Power customers had to be scratching their heads with company president and CEO Aaron Walker's assessment of a 72% increase in residential customers' rates since 2018. Here's the money shot, the next graph. Quote, I don't think I'd say substantial. I don't know what you mean by substantial, end quote. That's what he said during a West Virginia Public Service Commission hearing last week. Appalachian Power and Wheeling Power, subsidiaries of American Electric Power, have requested what amounts to a $250.5 million rate increase, or 13.54% for the average residential customer. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around this. When you have the president and CEO, this Aaron Walker, saying, I don't think I'd say substantial. I don't know what you mean by substantial when it comes to never-ending rate increases. I couldn't believe this editorial. And again, I give credit to the writer of the editorial. They did a very good job. In fact, calling it a total disconnect. Well played. Well played. Chris, what are your thoughts on this? I'm having a difficult time even grasping the enormity of what this really means.
So we're, 6 months into my very first term here, first legislative session, and I would say this is probably the fourth rate increase attempt from AEP that I know of, whether it be in base rate or in another way to get reimbursed for the cost of their expenditures. And to say it's not substantial or doesn't know what substantial is, this shows you how out of touch certain people can be. And no offense to the guy, if he doesn't understand how a blue-collar person lives paycheck to paycheck, somebody needs to give him, you know, that education. They know a 72% increase or a 60% increase could equal, you know, $100, $200 on somebody's power bill. For a blue-collar West Virginia family, that could be, you know, paying their water bill. That could be paying their, you know, buying their medicine. I mean, that could make or break a blue-collar family in the state of West Virginia. So I would argue it's significantly substantial, especially when we're one of the most energy-rich states in the union. The fact that, you know, you read this article, and it says with this rate increase, we would become now only, we as far as like ranking from first being the cheapest to 50th being the most expensive, we would drop all the way to 39th in this ranking with this rate increase. And there is no excuse for that when we are literally, you know, between us and Texas, you can, in Pennsylvania, you can make the argument, in Alaska even, it's the top four energy producers in one way or another in the country. There's no way we belong at 39th in affordability of electric rates.
So why are we there?
We're there because we have a public service commission that currently does not have legislative oversight. I mean, you know, you've heard me on the show before talk about legislation like Senate Bill 505, where we wanted to change a pay-for-what-you-get model where these power companies can no longer idle their coal-fired power plants, buy more expensive renewables off the grid, but still charge you for the maintenance and upkeep of that coal-fired power plant while it sits there idle. Or even only run it at 30% of the time, which you and I both know is harder on the coal-fired boiler than running it at peak capacity. And they get by with that, and we introduced that bill. It passed the Senate. It died over in the House, and we're going to introduce it again.
Wait, slow down. Whoa, slow down. Don't bury the lead. The House is controlled by Republicans. Why did it die there?
It went to their House Energy Committee, and it never seen the agenda. I don't know if you know, the power companies were successful in talking them out of it. Maybe the chairman over there didn't like it. We was given a lot of multitudes of reasons, but I will say this. There are good proponents of Senate Bill 505 that I was successfully able to negotiate with Governor Patrick Morsi into his microgrid bill. So there are certain provisions that we were able to get into that. We can even go to that as well. Like now to get reimbursed, coal-fired power plants in West Virginia to get reimbursed at current rates can no longer only have to run at 30. They have to run them at 69% capacity to be eligible for those reimbursement models.
Why not 100%?
Well, I wanted 100%, but I would take 69 over keeping it at 30.
Okay, why did you have to take? I'm pleased that it's a lot better, but again, I can't wrap my mind. There are many things I cannot wrap my mind around these days. Quite a few. One of them is this: the Republicans control everything in West Virginia government. Everything in West Virginia government. Morrissey is apparently a really good guy, a Trump guy and all that. You control both the House and the Senate, the House of Delegates and the Senate in Charleston. And why can't we get 100% for coal?
Well, he definitely is a very big supporter of coal, too, and I'm not going to lay this blame on his feet because he very well, like me, would like to see these things run 100% of the time.
Right.
Unfortunately, the true reality is you have too many Ds that switched to R and ran and are in our legislature. We have a Republican supermajority, but we have to fight to get a conservative one. That's the big battle going forward. We have a conservative majority in the Senate. We need to get a conservative majority in the House. There's too many. I mean, there is essentially two Republican parties in West Virginia right now. If you want me to tell you the truth,
of course.
Yesterday's Democrats now guise themselves as Republicans. I like to call them the Chambercrats. And then you actually have the MAGA Republicans, which is the camp I proudly associate myself with. And we're in a battle for control of the Republican Party here in West Virginia.
Why is it that the establishment Republicans, the RINOs, Republicans in name only, or Democrat light, if you want to call them that? Why are they in bed with Appalachian Power, and why are they so happy to allow Appalachian Power to continue to charge outrageous rates, 72% increase since 2018, and they wanted a 13.54% increase? Why do they allow them to do it? Do they own stock in Appalachian Power? Are they allowed to own stock in Appalachian Power? What's the real story here, Chris?
So we're all allowed to own stocks in various things. Now, I operate mine in ETFs and blind trust just because I don't want to have any, you know, charges of ethical. So I always, you know, like Trump, I play it safe. And a lot of that stuff is going to blind trust via ETFs and things like that because I'm serving public office. I'm not serving myself. A couple other things here. These people have bought into the Green New scam. Let's just call it for what it is. It doesn't work. It's a scam. Their donors are pushing the Green New Deal. Their lobbyists have been in their ear pushing the Green New Deal. And even AEP and, you know, these other electric utility companies, to a certain degree, want some of that in their portfolio, even though they know it's more expensive and unreliable. And they don't care what they got to do to get it.
Why
and
do they want
to? They don't care that you have to pay higher rates. They want to meet their ESG, their quota, because they claim that they have industrial customers and corporate customers that want that in their portfolio, regardless of what it costs the residential customer.
So it's just a way for them to appear to care about the environment, but really screw over ratepayers so they can make more money. Is that right?
That's exactly right. But there's some things that we can do, and there's things that, and here's another reason why this has happened. Many years ago, long before my political involvement, we're talking decades ago, the legislature made the decision to avoid the political backlash of doing anything with electrical rates or utility companies by taking the Public Service Commission out from underneath legislative review or legislative authority. So right now they're an independent body appointed by the governor, and when we can pass some bills to tweak some things, but ultimately we just give them the rules and then they execute them. There's no legislative authority over top of them directly. We need to bring them back under legislative review. The people of West Virginia deserve that direct representation to oversee the Public Service Commission. That way it's not a rubber stamp for higher rates when we are in one of the most energy abundant states in this country.
All right, Chris, let me ask you this. The West Virginia Public Service Commission, if I'm understanding you right, it's pretty much independent right now, and that's the problem. Is that right?
Not only is it independent, a lot of the people on the Public Service Commission actually used to work these electric utility companies. So
what?
You can read into that statement as you will, because that's exactly what I think as well. When you have people who used to work for these electric utility companies now are at the Public Service Commission.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The 5,000-foot view of that is not good, because they're rubber stamping these rate increases. I mean, they might delay them for a year every once in a while, but when is the last time you heard of a rate increase getting turned down here in West Virginia from the Public Service Commission?
Exactly. More with their very by the way, Chris Rose, State Senator, how long do we have you this morning? Because I know your time is very valuable. You're on Newsmax. You've been interviewed all across different, you know, national platforms and all that. How much time do I have with you this morning?
To about 7:40, then I have to run into a morning caucus.
All right, 7:40 it is. Take a short break here. More with a very special. It's one of the good guys. State Senator, West Virginia State Senator Chris Rose. Full disclosure, I endorsed him when he ran against that useless phony Maroney, who's full of baloney, who was our state senator representing the 2nd District. Chris Rose won. I don't want to take all the credit. Chris did some work as well. And anyway, I'm a big fan of his. This guy is going places, and he is absolutely one of us. Chris Rose, state senator. More with him. Can you imagine this? The West Virginia Public Service Commission?